are some of the common mistakes you see people make?
Equities or bonds generally delivers better returns than cash. Indian equities and bonds do offer a compelling story for investors.
I think GIFT City is also getting a lot of NRI attention. What do you have to say about that?
The Viksit Bharat initiative tends to increase India's exports to $2 trillion.
What would you say to young NRIs who are now starting their investment journey?
Fixed deposit and that safety used to be paramount. SIP options are the best.
So if one was investing in India, it was the love for India.
During 2020, the pandemic-induced sell-off was a good investment.
Who can they trust?
Get your advice and get your news from trusted sources.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Navigate with HSBC. Today, let us take a look at the evolving investment landscape, key sectors and smart strategies for NRIs looking to grow their wealth in India. Joining us for this conversation is Abhilash Narayan, investment strategist at HSBC and also someone who has his own personal experience as an NRI making investments in India. Let's get started with a personal lens. I want to look at your journey as an investor, how it started, and then, of course, come to the larger question of what do NRIs expect when they are looking at India as an investment hub? What are the challenges? Let's do a little SWOT analysis of sorts as to what works. But first off, very keen to hear your story.
That's a trip down the memory lane. So I predominantly grew up in Dehradun, and then I did my engineering in IIT Roorkee. I'm Ahmedabad. I did my MBA, and then straight away I moved to Singapore for my first job. And I guess investing journey as an NRI mirrors my growth in knowledge about investing. So I have to admit, initially when I invested in India, it was primarily in fixed deposits, if you can call that investment, and real estate, because I didn't know better, and there was that home bias. But you know, as years passed by, and I got a better understanding of the market, I realized that actually Indian equities and bonds do offer a compelling story for investors globally, not just NRIs. And that's when I started to get, you know, more active and investing more in financial markets in India.
You know, they always say that times changed so much that back in the days, there wasn't so much being offered. So if one was investing in India, it was the love for India, right? But gradually, people started to see another story emerge. What was that moment for you when you said, yeah, love for the country, of course, my roots, but hey, this looks like a great opportunity from investment point of view as well, and I should be looking at this geography compared to others?
The event happened about 5-6 years back, once, you know, India demonstrated improvements in government sort of reforms, through government reforms, and, you know, the structural growth trend. You rightly pointed out, I mean, over the last decade or so, there's been a big shift in ease of doing sort of investing as an NRI. I mean, I remember when I first opened my NRI account, most of the banks in India sent your OTPs to Indian mobile phones.
Yeah.
Which did make sense, right? Obviously, today, things have improved a lot. Everything can be done online. So that is there. I think the second factor is obviously the awareness and the sentiment around India has shifted a lot. Back in 2013, we saw a big crisis of confidence as far as, you know, India and some of the other emerging markets were concerned. But today, if you look at it, global investors view India much more positively. So there's that positive narrative. And I would say, thirdly, the options that are available to NRIs have just increased massively. I mean, back in the day, you had a choice of maybe a handful of funds, some insurance investments. But today, I think most banks offer hundreds of products catering to various needs, both in public as well as private markets.
Right.
So that's been a big you know, development as far as opportunity set is concerned.
You know, it's also very interesting when we look at the demography. You know, you now have investors who are younger, hungrier, and who are looking at perhaps India as an investment from a lens of being robust about the love for the country as well. And they want to give back, and they also want to secure their future while making these investments. What are the conversations like? Did you see a shift in conversations within your own circles? What were people talking about, say, 10 years ago? And how did, like you said, 5 years ago, things started to change?
There's been a big shift, right? 10 years back or 12 years back, it was, okay, which bank is offering you the best fixed deposit rate, NRI fixed deposit rate? You know, a few years down the line, the conversation shifted to how do you invest in mutual funds? What are the good options there? SIP options are the best. But I think in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a realization that apart from public markets, there is a lot of potential in the private market opportunities as well. So my colleagues, my friends, they're all looking at ways to invest in private markets. markets through right. alternative funds or directly investing in new startups to gain that exposure to the really high growth yeah. part of the Indian economy.
You know, I've also seen a shift from real estate markets to diversifying portfolios. And I think that also has happened in the last 4 or 5 years. It has happened with Indians. You know, there's so much diversification in our own personal portfolios. And I perhaps see that same thing happening with the NRIs in that community as well, that, you know, you're now looking at things beyond just the real estate market, which used to be the most promising at one point in time, comparatively to the others.
Absolutely. And I think that's been a function of two things. One is we've seen the gains and the price appreciation in real estate markets slow down over the past decade. Yeah. Prior to that, real estate was on a very, very yeah. strong run. That's led to a shift in sentiment. And I think it's again linked to the opportunity set. The opportunities and the vehicles you have to invest in public markets have improved. Back in the day, you just had funds which offered you a broad market exposure. Today, you have funds which give you specific yeah. sector exposure so that people like me, people like you can really pick and choose the areas yeah. they want an exposure to.
How has your choices been influenced? What were the sectors that you were traditionally interested in? So how has your behavior changed as an investor, and which sector continue to excite you?
I would say that when I started investing, it was a more style focus. Mm. So I was more keen on investing in small and mid caps, because at that point of time, the valuations were more you know, favorable. There was a strong earnings growth that was visible. Over the past couple of years, we've seen small and mid cap names get a bit more expensive from a valuation perspective. So from a style preference, you know, large cap sector stocks look more attractive. But from a sector perspective, you know, right now, to me, healthcare, financials, and industrials look as the most attractive sectors. If I talk about healthcare, I mean, it's a sector that offers fairly robust earnings growth. It's a defensive sector, in my opinion. And, you know, as Indians get more affluent, there will be a greater willingness to spend on quality healthcare. So it's a sector that benefits from the structural trends lying in Indian growth story. Financials, obviously, it's a sector that's lagged a bit. There were some concerns around, you know, margin pressures, etc. And they will persist. But banks are starting from good base as far as asset quality is concerned. And it's a sector which trades, you know, significantly cheaper to the broader market. So it could end up being a value play in the next 3 to 6 months. And lastly, industrial sector is one which is benefiting both from the government's focus on high quality capex, but also the Viksit Bharat initiative, which, you know, plans or intends to increase India's exports to $2 trillion by 2030. And I was just surprised to read a statistic a few days back that, you know, India is now the second largest producer of mobile phones. And that just shows how far we've come as far as our manufacturing capabilities are concerned. So industrial sector is, again, something that stands out as attractive over the medium to long term.
They always say our population, our demography has its advantage and disadvantages. But look at the mobile market. It's almost like roti, kapra, makan, mobile and internet, you know, now that we are looking at. I'm not surprised that our demography is actually pushing certain sectors in a way that can be of more advantage to the overall economic growth. But tell me more about your most rewarding investment. It's like it's choosing your favorite child.
But I would say decision to add more exposure to markets during 2020, the pandemic induced yeah. sell-off was a good investment. And I think when I look at the factors behind it, there were two ways of looking at it.
Right.
If the pandemic continues and, you know, we are in perpetual lockdowns, then it doesn't really matter where you invest. But if you do emerge from the pandemic, this dip is a buying opportunity. I had the temptation to sort of play it safe, go for hybrid kind of investments, equity and debt. But then I realized, you know, I'm still fairly young, and it makes sense that when I'm looking at long-term wealth creation, to have more exposure to equities. That time, I did put all of that additional money into equity markets, and thankfully, that has done well.
Fantastic. It reminds me of the famous quote by Warren Buffett, where he says, when it's raining opportunities, go with a bucket and not with a thimble. So I think you made hay when the sun shone. All right, time now to wear the professional hat. And let's now talk about ease of doing investment as an NRI. But what is that one important thing that you feel people talk about when it comes to investing in India?
So the first is ease of actually opening accounts and investing in India. It's as simple as opening and operating your bank account in whichever country you are living in. The whole process has now migrated to online platforms. You don't need to come to India, go to a branch to open an NRE account.
A nightmare.
Absolutely. I mean, at HSBC, as far as I know, you can open a bank account digitally in four hours. And that's a major transformation from what we saw a decade back. So I would say ease of doing banking is definitely something that's improved. The second thing is the options that are available, not only in financial markets, but also in order to, you know, manage your other assets, the physical assets. So I myself, one of my first investments in India was property, a flat in the NCR region. And managing that was tough. You had to rely on your relatives, your family. Today, you have professional real estate management companies which can allow you to manage your portfolio, you know, digitally. So that's, again, a big change that we've seen in the past few years.
And also, there are so many new opportunities that are created specifically for NRIs. I do see a lot of interest in Gift City. I think Gift City is also getting a lot of NRI attention. What do you have to say about that?
Absolutely. I would say it's been one of the most interesting or most exciting developments we've seen in the past few years. Clearly, it's still early days. We still haven't seen the full potential of that route being utilized just as yet. But I think there are some interesting opportunities there. So firstly, you know, as an NRI, it's very, very common to worry about, you know, rupee depreciation, whether it's the right time to actually convert my dollars or euros into rupees and invest in Indian equities. And I think Gift City allows you the opportunity or the option to hold foreign currency denominated fixed deposits at competitive rates. So, you know, you can park your money there while you're waiting for the right opportunity.
Right.
In addition to that, I believe there are some tax advantages for NRIs if you are investing in certain schemes like AIFs or PMS. It has certainly opened up a lot of new avenues for NRIs, which didn't exist a few years back.
Abhilash, drawing from your experience, what would you say to young NRIs who are now starting their investment journey, the ones who are already invested, as to how they should perhaps diversify or look at other sectors? What are some of the things that both these groups should keep in mind now in the new landscape of investment in India?
Obviously, the advice would be very, very different. So if I think about new NRIs, I would just say simply start investing, right? I know it's very daunting when you start your investment journey. There is a lot of uncertainty. You feel you don't have enough knowledge. And as a result, you know, a lot of people end up just holding cash.
Right.
I am guilty of doing the same thing a decade back. And we know that, you know, over the long run, investing in markets, be it equities or bonds, generally delivers better return than cash. So let your hard-earned savings, you know, do the work and grow your returns. So just start investing. And if you are unsure about where to invest, how to invest, take help of some professionals, right? And get an investment strategy that's crafted based on your own risk appetite, your own preferences, how much allocation you want to have to India, to your country where you're staying in. All of that can be done, but just start your investment journey. If someone is already invested in markets, I think it's important to ensure that you're diversified. You periodically rebalance your portfolios to ensure that, you know, it's still in line with your long-term goals. And I would say that it's a trend we've seen increasingly become popular both in global as well as Indian markets, is that the opportunity set that investors can access through alternatives has increased significantly over the past few years. So if you don't have enough allocation to alternatives, then there are a lot of new products coming up, and it might be worth taking exposure to private markets as well.
What are some of the common mistakes you see people making? What was yours?
The biggest mistake was
parking the money in cash
in FDs and starting investing too late.
And do you see that as one of the mistakes that people make? Is it more investments that are hearsay and not run via a professional? What actually happens in the NRI community when it comes to investments going wrong?
There are a lot of things that can go wrong, but I think this theme around having too much cash is something I've seen personally, because growing up in the 90s, fixed deposit and that safety used to be paramount. Yeah. So that's something which we have seen growing up, and there's a risk that biases our investment views you know, in today's day and age, when actually there are a lot of interesting opportunities available.
All right, as we wrap up, I'm sure you get this question from a lot of people, but for our audience today, who can they trust with advice? Where should they learn from? Are there podcasts, books, resources that you have used yourself and you recommend to others?
That's a question I can talk about for 15 minutes, but let me try and distill that down in 2 minutes. Well, I think it depends on where you are in your investment knowledge journey. If you are starting out, then obviously there are some great books available which can help you build foundations. There are three I like particularly. One is The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, which is a classic when it comes to analyzing markets. There's a book that I like called Psychology of Money. The third book I like is Super Forecasters, and it's actually based on a real life study where average people from all walks of life actually consistently beat professional forecasters. And it just talks about how people can make better decisions with limited information. So it not only can help people in their financial journey, but also daily life. But if you are a bit more sophisticated investor, then I think there are a lot of resources available, especially from professionals.
Yeah.
For instance, on HSBC's websites, there are a lot of reports, videos which talk about markets. So that's a good source. And then for people who are really tuned into the market, you know, there are news portals like Bloomberg, Reuters, CNBC. But I would say it's important to get your advice and get your news from trusted sources.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. On that note, it's a wrap. But I'm so glad we had this conversation today. Well, that's it for today's episode of Navigate with HSBC. We hope you gained valuable insights into making informed financial decisions. Stay tuned for more expert perspectives on wealth management and investment trends. Until then, invest wisely and please follow HSBC India on all the social media platforms.